morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us this week with Dr. T, our weekly news program. I want to start by saying a special announcement. We're kicking off this new year with an exciting lineup of live podcasts, exclusive membership benefits, and more ways to stay informed and empowered. It's January, and we are launching a new 10-Penny Prime membership. We have many super cool things in store for you at our new 10-Penny Prime members, and previously this referred to as our premium podcast membership. These are going to roll over, and you will see what all the new benefits are. Come and join us. You will be pleased at what we're going to do every single week, just exclusively for our members. But most importantly, remember, all of our podcasts are now going to be forward-reaching, from our terrific interviews and our Bible studies to our 4- and 8-part series that we do on Thursday nights and Bible studies, Happy Hour with Dr. T, Morning Coffee. All of them will be played consistently every day now at 11 a.m. and replayed at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. And they will always be free. They will be forward-facing, so you don't have to worry about missing out on the information. You will be able to find it always on the places where we post. There are many that are going to be posted right away, and you'll see them if you go and listen at Cloud Hub and on X and on our main platform at drtenpenny.com. So if you go to drtenpenny.com and hover over the membership tab, you will see and learn what all the benefits are going to be, how they're always going to be forward facing, and we're going to do a great job for all of our members for this year. And with that, before I introduce you, our special monthly guest, Twyla Braze, president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom, we're going to take a really short break. You don't want to miss what's coming up. We've got some great things to talk about. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant, you can take it when you're nursing, you can give it to little children, you can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out. The heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. Well, welcome back, everyone. Twyla Braze is the president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom, a patient-centered, privacy-focused policy organization established in Minnesota more than 20 years ago to protect patient and doctor freedoms. Her efforts have led to amazing results with the development of the Wedge for Health Freedom and in the Patient Toolbox, easy-to-use tools to help patients understand their options in a coercive situations and maintain control over their treatment decisions. Twyla's Health Freedom Minute is heard daily on more than more than 5 million listeners and more than 870 radio stations in 48 states. And all of that, she has written a great book, Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. She wrote it in 2018, but it is more important, more timely, and accurate now than ever before. Twyla, welcome back. Thank you for doing Happy New Year with us. I look forward to a whole year of monthly updates with you.
Well, it's very exciting to be back. So thank you very much for inviting me. And yes, we've got 12 months of probably, I don't know, we're off to the races, I think.
I think so too, especially now that Trump is back in office. Mm. What two letters did CCHF write to Trump about his nominees? You mentioned that before we went live, we talked about it a little bit. Who are you mostly concerned about? And what were the letters that you wrote?
Well, 2 days after his election, we sent out a press release and called it an open letter to President-elect Trump. And we asked for a 15-minute meeting, but that was really sent out just to the press and through social media, and it was possible that somebody could actually respond to it. But now we have sent a letter to President Trump directly to Mar-a-Lago. We did that. We did that early in January. And in addition to that, early in December, we sent out a letter and we asked him to reconsider two of his nominations. The nomination for Surgeon General, a physician who was all for the cancellations, the censorship around COVID. She's on tape saying, you know, this is necessary to, you know, censor people who aren't speaking the narrative. And then we also asked for him to reconsider Dr. Oz as head of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And really, in that letter, I laid out the rationale why we asked him to reconsider that, because Dr. Oz, in June of 2020, when we were all either still in lockdown or trying to get out of lockdown, wrote a letter saying that Medicare Advantage for All would be a solution for healthcare in Minnesota. That's where I live. A solution for healthcare in the United States, and suggested a 20% payroll tax to pay for it. So anybody who wasn't in Medicaid would be in Medicare Advantage, a health plan, a government-run system, Medicare Advantage, you know, and be paying 20% of their payroll, you know, to make it happen. So that there's nothing about that. There's no reason that we want him as head of Medicare and Medicaid services with that kind of perspective.
Well, it was so interesting because right after, as these nominees started rolling out, you know, they came out pretty fast and furiously over probably a week period of time. I remember distinctly when it was announced to have Dr. Oz, the head of CMS, I went, Dr. Oz, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, I don't know, and I don't know this for sure, but I don't think he's seen patients in a long time. At least he's not been in the surgery, I don't believe, for a long time. And he's been a media personality. He's been the male version of Oprah for how long? And when you look at the size of CMS, I mean, we're talking trillions of dollars, up to 37% of our gross domestic product, you know, millions and millions and millions of lives involved. And we are still in the process of 10,000 people a day are still turning 65 years old in this country. And he's going to be responsible for that kind of budget. Has he ever even had that? I mean, like how many people reporting to him and any sort of administrative type of experience? I mean, not anything that I know about. I could be surprised. I mean, there may be a lot of things we don't know about Dr. Oz. I'm not sure. But I was just appalled. And then when all this stuff started coming out about Medicare Advantage, because, you know, you and I over the last year, maybe year and a half, have frequently talked about the problems with Medicare Advantage. That was just horrifying to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always look at the head of a division like that as somebody who really leads the vision, right? They create the vision for where they want to go. And they have administrators under them who may have those kind of skills. But if you have the wrong vision and you give the wrong vision to everybody who's administrating under you, then they will use all those dollars for things for the wrong vision, right? And so that's not what we want. You know, there are some people who have been concerned that he seems to be sort of in bed with the health plans. And certainly in the article that I talked with you about just moments ago in Forbes, he wrote that article with George Helverson. Now, George Helverson was the CEO of Health Partners here in Minnesota, and I believe he became the CEO of Premier in California. And I looked up his history, and he was chair of the health governors at the World Economic Forum. So that should raise some additional red flags. And so, you know, he wrote this article about Medicare Advantage for All with a guy who has his whole life and his whole income has been about managed care and these health plans, right? But also this whole idea of taxing us all at 20% to make this all happen.
Wow, that's a lot. Well, I hope that that gets taken into consideration. Is that a position, the head of CMS, is that in a position that needs to be congressionally approved?
Yeah. Yep. It's one of the, yes. And so, you know, so we've asked Trump, but, you know, everybody who's listening to this program can contact your senator and tell them that you don't want Dr. Oz in this position, because, you know, if his vision is that we have to have managed care for all, it's just like, it's Obama's vision, it's Hillary's vision, it's Ted Kennedy's vision, because it was Ted Kennedy who gave us the HMO that morphed into the health plan. It was Hillary Clinton who really wanted to do HMOs for all, that was in the Clinton health plan. And then it was Obama who, you know, Obamacare is health plans for all. So this is, you know, what we've got here is somebody who is just going to, you know, continue the vision of the left in healthcare. And that's not what we want.
Wow. Well, take note, everyone. Find out who your senator is and call and call and call and announce that you do not want to have this person confirmed. And what about the gal who he's appointed for Surgeon General? I can't pronounce her name. She's got kind of a funny.
So I pronounce it, but whether she pronounces it differently, I'm not sure. I just say Dr. Jeanette Neshawat. Now, maybe it's different, but who knows? Anyway, so she has been somewhat of a personality, too. You know, if you look her up, there's a lot of things. I think she has been on, is it Fox? That she has been on, I'm not sure, but no matter what, she might have been really great with other things. But when she is in agreement with the platforms, you know, Facebook, social media, shutting down anybody's voices who don't agree with the narrative, who don't agree with the COVID shot, you know, that's not somebody that we want as Surgeon General, who has, you know, I don't think that the Surgeon General has that much power, but they have influence. They have a voice. They can speak across the airwaves and have everybody listen to it. So they have influence. I don't think they have power, but they do have influence.
How did her name get drawn out of the hat? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I do not know. That was a surprise to me. In our letter to Trump, we actually suggest that the Surgeon General should be the Surgeon General of Florida, Dr. Joe Latipo. That's who she should pick.
I think that many people were absolutely jaw-dropped that he was not nominated for that position.
Right. And I suggested Dr. Scott Atlas, who was his COVID advisor finally on the White House task force when he finally decided he needed somebody else's opinion other than Fauci's and Dr. Birx. And so he, you know, he could be the head of CMS and, you know, we'd all trust him to make much better decisions than Dr. Oz.
Yeah, than either one of them. You know, it is interesting, though, that in the event of a national medical emergency, this has been put forth by the PREP Act that came out of 2005, that the person who is the most powerful person in the land is the person who's head of HHS. Yes. And they did away with the advisory committee to the president on medical emergencies, and they replaced them with the head of HHS in conjunction with the Surgeon General advises the president on what to do. So that Surgeon General does have, like you said, influence in the event of that. But the head of HHS is, you know, really, really important. And I don't know if you're allowed to talk about this, but do you have a position on Bobby Kennedy getting into that position?
Yeah, so I have different thoughts about Bobby Kennedy. And one, I think he really cares about people not being shafted, not being hurt, not being harmed. And so certainly this whole thing about, you know, make America healthy again, getting the truth about the foods, you know, even exploring the difference between foods in Europe versus foods in America. It's very interesting, right? All the different additives here that are not there, all the GMO additives that are here. When I learned that 90% of our grains are GMO altered, I thought, okay, this is very interesting. It could explain a lot of things, you know, because it is genetics. I don't know the degree to that, but I think that Bobby Kennedy is probably trying to get, you know, to the bottom of that and then stopping the vaccines from harming people and telling truth. But He is the head of the CDC and would decide, you know, what would actually come out of the CDC in an emergency. He's the head of CMS, so he would decide about, you know, decisions about what Oz wanted to do in CMS. And so he has that kind of power. And on those issues, well, particularly CMS and Medicare, Medicaid, we don't actually know so much where he is. And that is, as you say, it's this enormous budget. And so if he could he shut down Oz? Would he shut down Oz? So I heard two different things about Oz. The first one I heard is that Bobby Kennedy wanted him and told Trump that he wanted him. So that's one thing I heard. I don't know that it's true or not. Another thing that I heard is that Oz called up Trump and said, I want this position. Now, it could be the two of those combined. Bobby said, do Oz. And then Oz said, I'd like to do the position. And, you know, and it's truth on both ends. I have no idea. But RFK Jr., he would be in charge of Oz and, you know, of what comes out of the CDC. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff we don't know about him.
Also in charge about stuff that's happening at the NIH and the FDA.
Yes.
And Homeland Security is part of that whole, you know, thing. And BARDA, he's going to, you know, the reason I believe that they're going to fight so hard against him getting there is because of BARDA. You know, BARDA, for people that don't know, it's this created body that negotiates deals. They're the money handlers. They're the people that take the money from the government and shuffle it over here to research and pharma and vice versa. And they're the big money brokers. And I'm sure that they don't want somebody of Bobby's caliber and his legal background. I mean, I kind of thought if he wasn't going to be, before he got nominated as head of HHS, I kind of thought he would be Surgeon General. Or I mean, attorney mm-hmm. general from his legal perspective. I kind of thought that would be his position. But, you know, they don't want him lifting the lid off of those smelly, stinky pots of all that corruption and crime and graft and payola and things that have gone on for decades. And those contracts that are completely ballooned and bloated. They don't want somebody like Bobby Kennedy pulling the lid off of that. So it's an interesting couple of months to see what's going to happen with these appointees for sure.
Well, and Bobby Kennedy with DOGE, right?
Yeah.
So, right. So Vivek and Elon Musk advising about the budgets of these entities and telling Bobby Kennedy, here's what you got and here's what we don't know. And here's where it looks like they shifted money, but it's not entirely, we're not entirely able to actually see what happened here, right? And so I don't know. I think, you know, when I think about that same thing, I think about DARPA or ARPA-H, right? Yeah. ARPA-H is DARPA for healthcare. And then there's BARDA. And so there's all of these things with all of this research and all of this money, and will DOGE look at it? So that's one of the things that I'll probably be doing is writing a letter to DOGE and saying, here are the things I think you should look at above and beyond whatever you might be thinking of.
And then there's things like the World Health Organization and Gavi and NATO. And I mean, big, huge, huge expenditures of American taxpayer money. That, what do we get for that? Nothing. And mm-hmm. so it's going to be an interesting period of time to see if they're going to follow through with the slash and burn, with the swath to go through there and cut things out, or if it's going to be just lip service only. What do you think about this administration and getting them info about the real ID and the stopping the inflammation of that? I mean, Trump kind of came out and said, yeah, I think that's a good idea. When I heard him say that, a couple of people questioned me about that. And I said, it may be that he doesn't really know what that's all about. I mean, a lot of people don't, you know, they might say, I don't want to do that, but they don't know what's the layers behind that. So what do you think about this administration and stopping the real ID? Because it's coming up fast. It's in May. It's only a couple of months away now.
Well, so there's several things, right? And thanks to you and your people out there, right? There were 31,746 public comments sent in about TSAs and the Homeland Security's a proposed rule. And their proposed rule was on May 7th, they would start progressive enforcement and progressive consequences. And so But they didn't expect 31,000 public comments to come in. So now they have to address whatever kind of comments that was, and then they have to put something out. So we're waiting to see when it comes out. We're on the list to get the update whenever it comes out. And so we'll see what they do. But I would say the good news is that Senator Rand Paul is head of Homeland Security Committee in the Senate. And Rand Paul has never been a fan of ID cards, like the unique patient identifier. I'm guessing that he is not going to be a fan of Real ID if he understands what it is. Now, in his powerful position as head of Homeland Security, imagine the kind of hearings that we could have about how this card's going to work. And what does it mean that this card can be used, according to the Secretary of Homeland Security, for any other purpose that the secretary deems official? So I actually think that the next purpose would be healthcare, and that would get everybody to cave. And so I think there's a lot of hope there. I don't think there's a lot of hope, although I'd love to see that there was. I just don't feel it about Kristi Noem, Governor Noem from South Dakota, being the Secretary of Homeland Security, because South Dakota is 99% compliant, and they started compliance in 2009. As opposed to Minnesota and like 30 some other states, which said, no, we are not complying with that thing. That is a usurpation of states' rights. Now, Kristi Noem was not there in 2009, I don't believe. And so, she probably didn't have anything to do with that, but, you know, continued implementation of it. So I'm not exactly sure. I could hope. I don't have tons of hope, but I have a lot of hope for Rand Paul. And then when it comes to Trump, he just needs to be educated, right? And then the people need to be educated. And so I think there's more that we're going to do in public information kind of campaigns in order to get the people to understand that what we're talking about here is setting up America for a Chinese social credit system. Mm-hmm. That's what we've got here. And when in December 2023, this organization called AMVA, and I'll tell you what that is. It's the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators. In other words, the heads of the DMVs around the country, when they testified before Congress in December 2023 in a testimony that they called Beyond Real ID. And they talked about putting it onto people's phones and having real-time remote access. Now, they talked about this as a good idea. Like, you know, if something changed in your address, boom, they'd just be able to change it, right? The last thing we want is the government to have real access to our identification cards to change them, cancel them, shut them down, anything that they might decide to do in order to change whether or not you can go register at a hotel, buy a gun. You know, if they put some special something on there that says you're dangerous, you can't buy guns or ammo, you know, you'd never know. You couldn't have any control over it. We don't want to go there, but that's where they want to go. So we're going to be working on this. I'd love to have a hearing in Homeland Security about the Real ID. I'd love to be able to convince Senator Paul to do that, and we will try.
Well, if there's anything that I personally can do and our audience can do, because this audience is going to grow and grow and grow this year because of the way that we're structuring our new membership, I'd really like to do that, because I've had a couple of people ask me questions of people that that knew that I was, you know, once I got educated and I got informed from you of what this was really about and I started talking about it, you know, the question became, because if you know, at the airport, they've got these signs everywhere, you know, you have by May 7th, you have to have this driver's license that says Real ID on it. So the question became, is that going to make people stop traveling by air? Are they just going to be able to drive, you know, particularly, you know, if the distance isn't too far? And are they going to be setting up checkpoints like the turnpike, you know, like the turnpike that you have to go through, where you can get that little thing on your windshield if you, you know, the pass, the ready pass or whatever to go through? Is this going to happen with our driving across state lines also?
Well, that would be wholly unconstitutional. There's a lot of unconstitutional things, including Real ID. That would be, imagine imagine what that would do if people were told you can't cross state lines unless you have some special identification. But C, the fact of the matter is that under the Real ID Act, it says it lists three official purposes, and then it says, and any other purpose as deemed by the Secretary of Homeland Security. So the secretary could deem that unilaterally for a national security purpose, that every time you cross a state line, you know, we, the government, have to be notified. Well, you know, again, very unconstitutional, but Real ID is as well. And so I think what you need to know is that people must not give up. They must not even think that May 7th is the deadline. The TSA and Homeland Security know it's not the deadline, because in their proposed rule that we got all those comments on, they said they were going to extend it for another 2 years, but they said, we're not extending the deadline. We want everybody to meet the deadline, but we know that everybody's not going to meet the deadline. And so we're going to, for the next 2 years, we're going to do progressive enforcement and progressive consequences. Now, one of their suggestions shows how onerous they want to be. So they suggested that airports or states and airports in states consider three strikes, you're out. This is what the language in the proposed rule. So in other words, three times you'd be able to come to the airport and they would send you back with a little note and a little warning that, you know, you've got two times left, you've got one time left, or, you know, whatever it is. And then the fourth time that you come to the airport, they would send you packing with your luggage, your children, and your tickets, go home. So that is something that they propose that states could do in order to get people to comply. Now, the thing about this is you don't need a real ID to fly. Get a passport. And the reason why, so people say, yeah, but the passport has all the same information. No, it doesn't. And it doesn't require you to bring your birth certificate and your marriage certificate and all of this kind of stuff and re-identify yourself to the country with all of your identifying documents put in one single place. But the other thing is you're not required to have a passport. A passport is like for traveling to another country, right? This is an internal passport that they are creating here, a passport to buy, a passport to sell, a passport to anything that eventually Homeland Security would decide was a national security need. So, you know, it's starting slow, but it's starting with commercial airlines. And so that's the way they want to force you to do it. But you can just get a passport, which you will not be required to have for any other reason, you know, because it's meant for traveling to another country, and you can use it to fly in this country if they get as far as they want to go. But our organization is planning to stop them. So right now there are 44% of all IDs and driver's licenses that are not Real ID compliant, 44%. We want to turn that to 46% and then 50%. And then 52%, right? So everybody who's got a Real ID license or a driver's license, turn it in. Get a standard driver's license so they cannot just tip the scales one day, push the button and say, okay, everybody else who doesn't have a Real ID, boom, you need it, right? That's where they're wanting to go. They want everybody in on this tracking card, this identification card, this unconstitutional control of movement card. And you need to stand up with us to defy them. You need to tell your congressman, you know, you can call Rand Paul's office and say, I hear you're head of Homeland Security. Shut down this Real ID. If he had a whole bunch of calls just coming in just to say that, good news. I hear you're the chairman of the Senate Homeland Security Committee. You're the person I need to talk to. Real ID's got to go. Shut down Real ID. It's unconstitutional. So I think it would be great for him to hear as many voices as possible to make that happen.
You know, it's interesting because, it's one thing to have a passport to travel internationally. It's another thing to have some sort of a control mechanism for me to fly from Cleveland to Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
I mean, really? And so that's just awful. Just awful. So I hope everyone, you know, there's, I don't know if, do you guys have a senator locator phone number thing on your website, Twyla?
No, but I know it's really easy to just say, who's my senator, and put in your zip code and boom. There's all sorts of mechanisms around the country that just pop up with that, including from Congress. If you just put in who's my U.S. senator and put in your zip code, it'll come.
Yeah, another is Stand for Health Freedom. You know, Stand for Health Freedom, they do a lot notifying Congress, senators, representatives. And so they've got, and we do some work with them because I think, you know, Leah Wilson and those people are really good people. And
yes.
So that's another place where you can go to look up your representatives and your senators and to get this real number. But Rand Paul is easy enough to remember. And most of us in Health Freedom world know Rand and have known him for a really long time. So to get hold of him and to say, stop the real ID is really super important. So this is a really good place. We're going to take a really quick break. We're talking today with Twyla Braze on our monthly update and so many good things that we're talking about, very important things, and there's more to come. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our Opti line, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast, when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store.
Welcome back, everyone. Well, I think it's really important. I just want to we were talking about this before the break, and I just want to reiterate it now. Get hold of Rand Paul, who's the head of the health of Homeland Security Committee in the Senate, and say, whatever you need to do, get this real ID stopped. And if he heard from 30,000 people like what we did when we signed the real ID thing, what did we start at? It was like 100 and something people.
No, there were 63 the day that I found out about it.
Wow. And we did how many at the end of the day?
31,764.
31,000. That is the people in action. I mean, that is really, really super cool. So let's circle back for just a minute about this Medicare Advantage, because you said that there are now 32 health systems, entire systems, that have dropped the Medicare Advantage. If they aren't taking it now, what are they going to do when it's Medicare Advantage for all? Are they going to be forced to re-sign up? How is that going to work?
Well, I don't know how that's going to work. We certainly hope that that will never be the case. But I think, you know, the important thing to understand about this is that 32 systems have said no to Medicare Advantage. Why is that? Because as some of the doctors will say, what they get back from Medicare Advantage is deny, deny, deny. And they also get delay, delay, delay. And that is both in care and in payment. So there are increasingly doctors who refuse to take a Medicare Advantage because, you know, there's Medicare Advantage is going to control what they can and cannot do, but then it's also going to deny payment, you know, sometimes for long periods of time. Earning, of course, interest by denying the payment. So the health plan is earning interest. And so I think what you need to understand is that original Medicare is a much better option. It's something that we talk about in our Medicare how-to guide. But also you have to just understand the traps and of Medicare. And Medicare Advantage is one of the traps that we detail in our Medicare how-to guide, which you can find on our website at cchfreedom.org. It's free. And we just really encourage people to go there. Actually, I had one former federal official in the Medicare administration who told me that he had read the guide, looked through the whole thing, and he said, it's a real service. It's a real service, and lots of people are going to, they're not going to find what you have written in the guide, is what he told me. So, you know, whether you're in Medicare or whether you're about to go into Medicare, this is a really good thing for you to do, even though, you know, I was co-writer on it, you know, it's still a great thing for you to do. because I tried the best and my team tried the best that we could to find everything that you should know and should think about and try to put it in one place. Of course, Medicare is very complicated, so I'm not going to say that, you know, everything that's possible in Medicare is in there, but everything that you really should think about before you make a decision, for the most part, is in there.
And tell people again where they can get that guide.
Yeah, they can go to our website at cchfreedom.org. And they just have to look at the top of the website. There's this little thing that spins, you know, you see that on the websites, right? I think it's usually the first one that pops up. But then if you missed it, you can just, you know, scroll through them and you'll find it. It's also down at the bottom in something called helpful handouts. Oh, no, that's right. We haven't got that place yet. So never mind. Just go to the top of it. It's coming there, but it's not there yet.
Yeah. The forever changes on the website, right?
Yeah.
All the things that you have great vision for that take forever to get done.
Yes.
That's really true.
So, yeah. And so I think what this shows is that how, as health systems drop Medicare Advantage, despite the fact that you might not pay a premium for Medicare Advantage, where will you have to go? I mean, like, what are your options that you'll have, you know, to use? And then how far will you have to go to get there? Because these systems are dropping Medicare Advantage because it's a losing proposition for them. They might be actually losing money taking a Medicare Advantage patient. And you actually don't want a doctor that's in that situation. And so lots of the doctors are leaving so that they don't have to be in that situation.
Yeah, I saw a video the other day. I think it was a TikTok video somebody sent me of a physician. This was a surgeon who was telling the story that she got pulled out of the surgical suite.
Oh, yeah.
Rubbed in on a woman who had breast cancer, and they were going to, I don't know what kind of procedure, if they were doing a lumpectomy or a mastectomy or putting in a staple. I don't know what they were doing, but this woman was already under anesthesia in surgery with this breast cancer thing that was going on, and the surgeon got pulled out of the surgical suite by United Healthcare to tell them that they to get more information of whether or not they were going to pay her bills. And she was just talking about how insane the entire insurance world has become. Now, United Healthcare, I don't know how it is across the rest of the country, but I know here in Northeast Ohio, United Healthcare is the primary purveyor of Medicare. Mm-hmm. And so, and there's been other people other whistleblowers who've come online about, you know, insurance that say, I just couldn't do this anymore because it was delay, deny, and, you know, all these different things that people get, they would have things that would be stacked up, and the horror stories just go on and on and on. And I say that this is one of the biggest problems in healthcare that started probably in the 60s is when when healthcare insurance companies became publicly traded, so that their alliances are to their shareholders. And so if they don't pay money to hospitals and doctors to pay your claims, then that makes the value of their stock go up. So it's more money for their shareholders. And so that their allegiances of who they were going to support were their shareholders, not the people providing care. That's true. So we've told stories now about Medicare Advantage, about Medicare, and about United Healthcare. Is it true across the board? Is this just happening everywhere?
Well, you know, with the Affordable Care Act, it really consolidated the entire coverage industry into a few big players that have a lot of control. And I did have a physician once tell me, when I was telling him what I do, and he looked woeful, I guess that would be a good way to put him, put his face. But what he said was, you know, in my opinion, United Healthcare will run healthcare in this country. And so that's how doctors are feeling, because it's such a big player. And so this might be why, you know, when the CEO was assassinated, you know, there were all these really dreadful comments, you know, but it could be that there's lots of people who are really mad at United Healthcare, both in and outside of Medicare, who have seen how when you actually need access to care, it might be very difficult to get it. Some of those comments could have even come, you know, from doctors who were trying to get care for their patients and couldn't. And they felt the well, I don't know, what do you want to call it? The horror of the fact that they'd either have to charge the patient to get the care or just not give it, you know, or to tell the patient that, you know, this is what you need, this will save your life, but United Healthcare perhaps says no. But it's not just United Healthcare that's saying no, but United Healthcare is the big player, you know, across all the health plans. And I would like to add here that these health plans are not health insurance. So if you had real health insurance, it would be a contract between you and the real health insurance company, the major medical indemnity company. It'd be only for catastrophic and insurable events, and it would be a certain amount of money that was paid no matter what. And so then you have the cash in hand, and then you can go and negotiate. Now, if it's an emergency, there's not so much negotiation, but even the hospitals wouldn't know how much your insurance company would tend to pay for whatever you have, because it would have sort of a regional pricing, and the hospitals would know it. Everybody would know it. And they might charge a little bit more and think, okay, well, the patient can probably, you know, pay this extra, but they wouldn't make it sky high. Right? Because then you would take your money and you go somewhere else and you would tell everybody and their mother about this hospital here who charged this much when you could have gotten it down the street for that much and you have the cash in hand. So now all the prices are available because you are paying the bill. So it's a very different thing if you had real insurance, which is what our organization is going to try while the trifecta is in place in Washington, D.C., to make sure that we bring back real health insurance. The Affordable Care Act prohibits it for anyone over the age of 29. No one can sell a catastrophic policy to anyone over the age of 29. And then health plans are the only thing that we're allowed unless you have health care sharing or the employers. But the employers are often using the health plan to administer their plan. And so the health plan is in control of all this money.
Wow. Well, and I would say that most people, when you really talk to them, unless they've got a lot of health, underlying health conditions, they've got a lot of problems, people are saying, I don't want to pay for all this stuff I'm not ever going to use. Right. I want to have a catastrophic insurance plan so that if a drunk driver hits me or I fall off the roof and break my hip or, you know, some really weird, like I had a really, really good friend who had a really freaky horse accident. She was riding a horse and a really freaky accident right before Thanksgiving, that a dog chased out the horse and the horse bolted and threw her into a tree and broke her hip. You know, you want insurance for those kinds of things that you just don't have any control over. But why do I want to pay for all the stuff that I'm never going to use? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to a holistic practitioner. I'm seeing a chiropractor and an acupuncturist and maybe a naturopath. I don't want any of that stuff, but yet you're forced to pay for it. And so now it's virtually impossible that that's not even available, that people really want to pay into something like that. Did I hear that correctly?
That's correct. There are indemnity plans like Atlas. It's called Atlas.direct. It's a new plan from Atlas, which is it's a DPC. It's many things, but there's also long been Aflac. So Aflac has an indemnity policy. And so it's meant to pay for these costs that are out of pocket costs that are like your deductible. Or like if you get cancer, you can have a indemnity policy for cancer, and it agrees if you get a diagnosis of cancer, we will pay you $50,000. End of statement. Boom. There you go. There's your money. That was our agreement with you. There's no like quibbling over, well, it's not a bad enough cancer. It's not going to cost you $50,000 to get rid of that cancer. You know, whatever it is, right? That's a contract between you and the insurance company, the real insurance company, and they will just pay you.
And doesn't that kind of apply to there also with all these hospital consolidations and these hospital systems that have consolidated that, you know, Becker Hospital Review, which is a pretty good rag. I mean, they do really good research and they put out great data if you're in that sector. And they were talking about that it did nothing to improve quality or to lower price except it actually did just the opposite. Why don't you talk about that just a little bit?
Yeah. And so, yeah, they did a survey. And of course, these never make the major media, so people don't actually hear about them, right? But I'm just looking at those stats. So almost 77% of the 26 studies that they looked at measuring quality showed no change or lower quality after two entities had merged or three entities had merged, whatever the kind of mergers that happen in consolidation. So no matter what the claims of the entities who are merging together saying, oh, we can do better, you know, we can lower costs, we'll be better healthcare for all of you. These studies show that that's actually not the case. And oftentimes there's increased costs. And of course there is. Anytime you decrease competition, the likelihood is that the prices will go up. And so when you consolidate, you take away that competitive feature, you know, and there's just fewer players. And so those players can all jack up their prices and you have nowhere else to go.
Wow. Well, Twyla, as always, talking with you, we could go on for hours. You're such a wealth of information and all the different things that are involved. And this year is going to be a really big deal for healthcare. I mean, mm-hmm. We ran a survey on X, just a little survey we put up on X, and it said we all agree that the healthcare system isn't working well. Do you think it can be fixed? Yes, no, or we need something new. And 69% of the people that responded, and there were maybe 3,000 people that responded, 69% of the people said we need something new. So it's going to be an interesting year to see what happens with the changes that, hopefully, the good changes at HHS, the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, individual hospitals, and people that are being innovative for the first time to develop new plans and new healthcare share plans and things that are coming. It's going to be really interesting. And I think that you guys at cchf.org have been leaders for a really long time. What are some of your main goals for your organization for this year?
Well, like I said, there's a trifecta in place. I figure we've got 12 to 18 months before everything starts to be configured for what's going to happen with the 2026 Senate election. And so I really want probably three things. One of those is that we get the Retirement Freedom Act passed and signed by President Trump, letting people opt out of Medicare without losing their Social Security. Then I'd like a Bring Real Insurance Back bill, which would say basically, you know, it doesn't matter what happened with Obamacare. We are actually going to give people back the right to have real insurance, major medical indemnity insurance that's affordable just for insurable events. And then we just got to stop Real ID. Got to like stop it in its tracks because, you know, the end of Real ID is the end of freedom in this country, whether that's freedom to buy, freedom to sell, freedom to move, everything that they could do. Really, I just really feel like it's setting up a Chinese-like social credit system. And maybe we would have a good, beneficent bureaucrat in there, you know, one day for one administration. But what happens if we'd have like a Harris? Head of Homeland Security. You know, what other kind of official purposes could they decide it was needed for? And I think they would do their level best to put all of us under the thumb of the Real ID. Just know this, the Real ID is not a card. Yeah, there's a card, right? It's a system. This is a system that we must stop. It's not just a card, it's a system.
Well, I want each time that you come on, I want to revisit this and we need to keep talking about it and keeping it in the forefront of people. And remember, we've already mentioned, call Rand Paul's office and all you need to say is, you know, stop the Real ID, mm-hmm. whatever you need to do, have him vote against it, stop against it, legislate against it. But we got to stop this system of control that they're trying to put in place in our country. Anything else that you want to say real quick before we close out today, Twyla, because just a wealth of information again, but is there anything in particular that you'd like to close out with today?
Well, I guess I would like to say if there's legislators or, you know, legislators who are concerned about what's happening in the exam room with children, we have written a bill for a legislator in one of the Plains states to make sure that parents are not forced out of the exam room with their teenagers. And so we would like as many states as possible to pass this bill because the doctors and the nurses are saying, well, you know, your child is now 13 or your child is now 12 or whatever it is, and you can only be in the exam room if you get your child's permission. And then if the parent isn't there, or even if the parent is there, they're asking all of these questions, really personal questions about the family, about their sex life, perhaps their gender, their this, their that, right? And it's all being recorded in an electronic health record for forever, right? And they're being forced to do this with a power figure in the exam room. So we aim to stop this, and to the degree that you know state senators and representatives that would like to take on this issue, we would be more than happy to help them.
Very, very good. Oh, it's just like underneath every lid, there's something more nefarious to talk about.
It's
I mean, every single place, it's like, you know, we have got to be vigilant. I will say that this is one of what I, you know, you've heard me say this before, one of the many gifts of COVID. And one of the gifts of COVID is that people are paying attention to their government for maybe at this level, maybe the first time in more than 100 years, which is just great.
I do want to also say one more thing.
Sure.
And this is a plug for a book that is not mine at all, but it's called Insider Threat. And I just finished it. And it's the story of the deep state at a level you will not believe. And I now know more what Trump is going to deal with when he gets there, because some of the people that are talked about in the book are still in the administration. So it's called Inside Threat. Inside Threat. And the last name, it's Adam Lavinger or whatever. Anyway, it is a book everybody should read, and then pray for President Trump to really, this is a swamp at a level I didn't even know. So really amazing.
Wow, that says a lot, because you've been, you know, swimming in that swamp for a long time with all
this. Yeah, this is deeper than deep, and it talks about what Obama did to set this deep state up. It's really actually amazing.
Wow.
Inside Threat. He was considered an inside threat. He became an inside threat, the guy who wrote the book. And so he talks all about the playbook of how he became an inside threat and how they got rid of him. And as soon as Flynn decided to have him join him in the Trump administration, they got rid of him. And one day this playbook appeared on his computer, just appeared. And it showed the whole playbook that the deep state used to get rid of him. And he doesn't even know how it ever got there, but he's got it. And then he wrote about it.
Interesting. Well, I guess there's another book that I can put on my stack of books about
this. I encourage it. I read it in 2 days.
Really? That's all good. Well, thank you so much for that, Twyla. And I want to thank you so much for joining us here again, that we're now changing this to This Week with Dr. T, that it will be at 11 o'clock on Monday. And so all of our This Week with Dr. T have changed from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. And we're going to have all of our broadcasts are going to be at the same time, which is 11 o'clock Eastern. And then there will be a replay at 7 p.m. Eastern for the next month or two. And we're going to keep that in mind, that we're changing things. And I know that's always hard. Change is always hard for everybody. You know, it's like if you watch your favorite television show and it's that Wednesday night at 9 p.m. and now they've changed it to Thursday night at 8. You know, you're like, where did my show go? Well, keep in mind, we're going to be sending this out in your emails, be on our email list. I'm going to be talking about it on the podcast. It's going to be 11 a.m. Eastern time across the board. We've got all kinds of things lined up this year, a lot that we're doing, a lot of free content. So if you join us as a member, as a Tenpenny Prime member, it will allow us to keep most of the things that we do for free. So I want to thank everybody for joining us here today, this morning. I want to close with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my podcasts with whether it is live or pre-recorded, and it's not going to change, which is Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, lean into God. We will see you on Wednesday morning now, which is Morning Coffee with Dr. T on Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. On Tuesday morning at 11 a.m., we're playing our happy hour show with Dr. T. So we're changing it up a little bit. It's posted everywhere, and we'll continue to remind you, and we hope that you'll keep following us. So until I see you next month, Twyla, lots can happen in the next 30 days. And for everybody else, have a good day, everyone. Have a good week, and goodbye, and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.